Hello, and welcome to the Equitopia podcast from the horse's mouth. My name is Caroline Hegarty, founder of Equitopia. And so we continue meeting different professionals in the equine industry and getting their perspectives on equine care. In this episode, we hear from saddle fitter Rose Burrows. Rose has been involved with horses for as long as she can remember and started her own saddle consulting business 6 years ago. I started by asking her how she got interested in horses.
Well, I was around four and I started to beg my parents for riding lessons. Horses was the only thing I wanted to do as a child, and I was obsessed with horses from a really young age, as well as farms, dogs, tractors, and basically anything outdoors in the mud. It was slightly strange, really, because I come from a family who have never ridden horses or even spent any time around horses. But I guess I was really, really lucky, as my parents did really support me and actually really encouraged me to turn what was my passion into a hobby and then into a career after that. Even though I imagine it wasn't easy for them at the times when they watched me fall off, and especially when they watched me competing cross country, I know that was really hard for them as they used to worry so much. So I rode regularly from four. The first pony I actually fell in love with was a one-eyed, greyed, tatty old thing called Nipper. I had ponies on loan over the years at a family friend's yard that was close to our home as well. Then I started working for free rides on the horses at the local riding schools after school when I was a bit older, and also had regular lessons once a week, which I loved. When I was about 15, I'd saved up the money to buy a pony from working a weekend job making sandwiches in a deli. But unfortunately, all I could afford at that time in my life was a completely wild moorland pony from Bodmin Moor. So I got the help from a trainer, and together we trained and then backed this pony, and she became my first real project. Those, of course, were the days when we had no mobile phones around, so there was no way of anyone knowing where I was. I used to cycle 3 miles to the field in the morning and ride out all day to other friends' farms, miles and miles away down the roads and the lanes. I used to stay for lunch with them. We used to play over the jumps in their fields, and then I used to ride home in the dark, actually, all by myself. We wouldn't hear of that these days, I don't suppose. I stayed out for hours and hours, and I guess my parents just liked the peace and quiet, as they never really seemed to wonder where I was. I learned a lot from the experience of bringing on that youngster and enjoyed every minute of it. And actually, from then on, I spent time training lots of youngsters and learned so much along the way. And of course, you never stop learning, do you? I was really lucky, though, that most of my childhood and my teenage years, actually, were spent in a beautiful little town in Cornwall. We actually used to ride our horses in the sea all of the time and swam with them, which was amazing. And I backed one of my young horses in the water in my wetsuit, which was really cool.
Sounds so cool. I asked Rose how she ended up working with horses professionally and what made her decide to be a saddle fitter.
When I left school, I tried college and I actually started to study law, which I did really enjoy. And I also trained to be an estate agent and spent time selling houses in and around Cornwall in the UK, always having my own horses on the side and riding before or after work by head torch in the dark, usually, as we had no electric or arena, and then went out competing at the weekends. I also worked in sales jobs around London and even ran a clothing boutique at one point. Again, taking my horse with me as I travelled around, but those careers just didn't really stick. I wasn't any good at sitting in an office all day, and I wanted to be outside with the horses. So I followed my instincts and went to work full time with them in the end. I studied at a local equine college alongside doing different yard jobs to get some qualifications with horses along the way. And I then worked as a yard manager and instructor at different yards around the UK for a long time. Again, taking my trusted horse with me all over the place. He was amazing and my horse of a lifetime, really. And by then, having to throw his hoof at anything and everything, he became a dressage cob, show jumper, cross-country machine, trek leader, cattle herder, and my very, very loyal friend, and I'll never forget him. In 2014, I sought the help from a couple of saddle fitters to help a really uncomfortable youngster that I'd brought over from Ireland, and I just couldn't get him right. I had support from a really great equine physio, and the vets that I knew were brilliant, had great trainer, but I knew that I needed to make sure that the saddle was okay. But to be honest, I was left feeling really disappointed with their lack of enthusiasm and really their reluctance to share their knowledge with me as an owner, and I was really desperate to learn. I felt that their visits were rather rushed, and I felt that the horse's welfare wasn't always at the forefront of their minds, and neither was there a will to educate the owners. So from that, I'd found my new career path.
I asked Rose how things went in the beginning, starting out as a saddle fitter.
When I started out, it was quite scary to start a completely new career, and I had to take a huge leap of faith into my saddle fitting journey. I was a single parent, and I knew it would be really hard work, but I had no doubt that it would all work out as it felt right, and I wanted it really badly. I had to put all of my training on a credit card initially, and all of the initial stock purchases as well that went with that for the business. I had to sell my car and buy a van with a loan, and also finance travelling overseas a few times to train. As with any new business, in the beginning I worked really long days whilst building up a client base and travelled for miles each day in the van. I went to local shows with my trade stand, leaflet dropped everywhere, and contacted local professionals and organisations just to get my name out there. And also, I made a point of trying to collaborate with other saddle fitters in the area, vets and, of course, body workers. It was a really cool journey and I enjoyed it.
And 6 years on, what are some of the challenges she faces now?
I'm extremely lucky in my work, and the majority of my clients are committed in the long term to the health and well-being of their horses, investing their time and also their money into really good hoof care, bodywork, nutrition, saddle fitting, correct training, and at the same time focusing on their whole horse. However, I do find that people are still really reluctant when it comes to investing in their own general health and well-being long term. People generally just don't see it as important, which I think is quite shocking. I think riders need to be taking the time to seek bodywork for themselves, maybe starting a fitness program to make them stronger while they're riding, but also for their own future health. I feel that a lot of people don't find the time for their own self-care and aren't paying their own bodies and also their minds as much attention as they deserve. Another challenge I face is trying to get owners to just slow things down, trying to get them not to rush into things, not to rush into backing and competing their horses before they're ready, and to understand the reasons behind that, to slow down the training process, but also the way we handle the horses with much more kindness and compassion. Life's pretty rushed for a lot of people, and animals pick up on our rushed nature, of course. They pick up on our tension and stress, and that's when the mistakes are made. A horse's learning environment needs to be calm, as horses can't learn when they're worried and stressed, when their fight or flight mode's kicked in. When the horse is feeling safe and relaxed, then they're in a place where they can learn.
It's interesting to hear Roselle's observation about how many equestrians are learning to care better for their horses, but still have the tendency to neglect themselves. At Equitopia, we talk about the goal of achieving a gymnastically empowered partnership between horse and rider. So, of course, it makes so much sense to look after our own bodies as well as our horses' bodies if we want to achieve that. But not only to look after our bodies, we also need to make sure we have a positive mindset and a healthy attitude to developing our horsemanship. This tendency to neglect ourselves is probably more common than you might think. Just think about parents who invest most of their time and energy in their kids at the cost of relationships with partners or friends. Professionals who spend their waking hours at work while personal relationships suffer. It is a question of balance that we all struggle with. And I think we all need to stand back every so often and assess, is our approach to our horsemanship balanced? Are we doing what's necessary to achieve a healthy partnership where both parties are thriving? It sounds pretty basic, but many of us don't get it right all of the time. Why not take a minute to think about where you stand on this? I moved on to ask Rose about how she likes to work, if she prefers working alone or if she finds value in collaborating with other professionals.
Oh, wow. Yes. When we can all come together and help a horse and rider combination, we can offer so much more. we can work as a team and together can piece together a problem. And I suppose sharing our knowledge can plan a solution and learn from each other at the same time. I'm really lucky to be supported by a team of wonderful vets, body workers and trainers. And together we support the owners and help the horses, and we're learning from each other at the same time. So it's obviously a win-win situation.
Sounds great. Teamwork is most definitely the way forward. I asked Rose if she personally sees any improvements in the equestrian world in the past few years.
I think recently things have begun changing a lot, not only with the extensive research being undertaken by equine professionals in all aspects of equitation, and of course the technology that we have now is amazing, but I think the owners and their views are beginning to change. They're seeking more information and asking why a lot more, which is brilliant, and they're learning and accepting that things have to be different. People are starting to see horses differently, I think, and with more compassion and empathy. I think we've got a really long way to go, and there are so many equestrian sports and competitions, certain types of tack and training aids around the world that I think shouldn't be allowed to continue at all, or to be promoted. But I think we're on the right path.
Yes, indeed. Lots done and lots to do. So in addition to the issue of the competitions and gadgets, what in her view are some of the things that still need to change?
I think that people need to accept that things need to change, and that change can be a really good thing. Throwing your ego aside and being able to discuss other options that also might be available, and be willing to find the time to learn new information. I think that owners need to take the time to learn more about horse care and training. There's a huge lack of knowledge in the industry at the moment, and more horse welfare issues, I think, because of that. The problem worldwide lies with not only the owners, but also, of course, with the professionals. It's not a simple fix, I don't think, as we've got to take into account people's home lives, everything from their careers, their financial situations, their relationships, their whole environment. That will all have an effect on how they interact with their horses every day, and people, of course. I think it's really important to remember that change can't be forced if that person isn't ready.
This is so true. The thing that people resist most is change. And this applies to all of us. We get used to doing things in a certain way, and even if we're told a better way of doing something, we don't always accept it. Why is that? Well, for one thing, change is uncomfortable. It requires us to get out of our set patterns. It forces us to think in different ways. It makes us question ourselves. It's true that change can't be forced on people who aren't ready. So how can we get ready for change? The answer is simple, but putting it into practice isn't. We can only get ready for change if we work on our mindset, so that we're always open to the possibilities of finding new ways of doing things, always open to learning new things, not rejecting change, but rejecting the stagnation that comes with a fixed mindset that refuses to do something just because it's different to how it was done in the past. And who wants stagnation? Not Rose, for sure. I asked her what she thinks the future holds for the equestrian world.
I like to hope that more and more people will see horses for what they are, treating them with more kindness and respect and listening to them. I like to think that the future is calmer for the horse and rider, maybe with less pressure, less anger, and more time just to enjoy being together.
Yes, indeed, that would be nice. Each month we're adding to our recommended reading list, so I asked Rose if she could add her top picks.
Yes, of course. I would recommend reading the following books. First one being Tug of War by Gerd Hulshman. That's a really good book. The second one, I think I'm going to go for Equine Behaviour by Paul McGreevy. And lastly, Compassionate Training for Today's Sports Horse by Karen LeBrand.
Finally, I asked Rose what qualities she would be looking for in each member of an equine team, including trainers, vets, farriers, equine behaviourists, nutritionists, saddle fitters, etc.
You know, really, it's the same answer for all of the above team members. I think we all need to keep learning, keep our knowledge up to date, and be open to other perspectives and ideas. open to taking a different route sometimes, because sometimes there is more than one right answer to something, or more than one way to do things. And also to agree that we've all got so much to learn from each other and to be open to trying things in a different way. I think it's really important to remember that we all see things differently and we've been trained differently. Our eye's going to pick up on different things. We're all on a completely different journey, but one with hopefully a really similar goal, which is to improve the life of the horses. In order for us to see the whole picture, I think we definitely need each other to fill in the blanks. I think we need a willingness to keep the lines of communication open, and also just to never be afraid to say, I really need some help.
Oh, I love that answer. I'm so glad I had the opportunity to get to know Rose a bit better. I hope you enjoyed listening. And that brings us to the end of another episode. Thanks so much for listening, and hope you'll tune in again next month for more From the Horse's Mouth.